bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege to be here once again with you back on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. As you know, my friends, in Finding God in Prison, we discuss a lot of the prep work that goes into reentering society for inmates and for people who are struggling with substance abuse and alcoholism. And today we're going to be talking about the blessings of obedience that truly God has prepared for us if we can remain obedient to what God says to do and not to do. We're also going to be talking about heavily the work that's necessary in preparing for going to find employment. And this is very important in our society today. A lot of men, when they come home from being incarcerated, have no work, no money. They have no place to live, and they need guidance and direction. And that's why we're here today. So we're going to be talking about upfront the blessings of obedience that we want to put out there as something that we should strive for in our everyday walk. And here it is. I want to just lay it out for our men and women out there who are preparing for re-entering society. This is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 12 to 15. And here it is. As your reward for heeding these decrees and observing them carefully, the Lord your God will keep you with you the merciful covenant which he promised an oath to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the produce of your soil, your grain and wine and oil, the issue of your herds and the young of your flocks, and the land which he swore to your fathers he would give you. You will be blessed above all people. No man or woman among you shall be childless, nor shall your livestock be barren. The Lord will remove all sickness from you. He will not afflict you with any of the malignant diseases that you know from Egypt, but will leave them with your enemies. You shall consume all the nations which the Lord your God will deliver up to you. And my friends, the blessings of obedience. This is a tough word for human beings to embrace, to engage in, to live out, to be obedient to what God says to do. And in the WINGS program, we really are focused from the beginning on helping our men and women to listen to the Word of God. And here's what Moses tells us. You know, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' words, if you will, or God speaking through Moses to us with the help of our Holy Spirit. And here's what he says in chapter 8 about the commandments which were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he says this: be careful to observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today, that you may live and increase, and may enter in and possess the land which the Lord promised an oath to your fathers. Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert, so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. The clothing did not fall from you in tatters, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. So you must realize that the Lord your God disciplines you, even as a man disciplines his son. And in the Word of God today, my brothers and sisters, Moses tells us to be careful to observe all the commandments that he provides, that you may live and increase. And the life of increase is where we're getting things from life. We're getting blessings of obedience. A life of increase is where we're getting beautiful things like family and children and a great opportunity to provide for our families, good jobs, beautiful home, strong faith, peace of mind. We're getting things and we're living a life of increase versus the life of decrease. Now, when Moses says to be careful, my friends, we have to listen to this man. And we don't want to live a life of decrease where we're losing things from life. We're losing a home. We're losing a wife and children. We have separation. We're losing a job. We're losing a home. And, you know, with each loss, depression and sadness sets in. So it behooves us, all of us, to listen to Moses when he says to be careful, to observe all the commandments that God gives us. So for men and women out there who are re-entering society after addiction to drugs or alcohol, after incarceration, we want to be careful about where we go and what we do. And in the Wings program, we talk heavily about the 168, the total amount of hours in a week, 7-day week, 24 hours a day, 168 hours of total time, that time should be positive. It should be aligned with what God says to do and not to do. We want to be conscious. We want to be aware of the situation around us, just like in aviation. We see that pilots need to be aware of airplanes in front of them, behind them, to the left or right, above or below, and air traffic control does a tremendous job of separating traffic for safety so there's no mid-air collisions, which have taken place. So we want to be aware of what's happening in our lives each and every day in our daily walk. And this is important. And as we go forward upon reentry, we know that we are going to have to look for work. And preparing for work is something that we talk heavily about in the Wings program. And a lot of our people have backgrounds of different types that we need to put onto a resume. And when we create a resume, which includes great contact information, an address, a phone number, and beyond that, we want to make sure that that contact is reliable. It's not something that is unreliable, because if someone calls us for an interview and there's no answer there, what are we doing but wasting time? There should be no music on that answering machine, if you will. It should be a professional message so that when someone calls you and invites you to come in and have an interview for a job, we want to, you know, be able to receive that message professionally. Also on the resume, we should be looking at our education, where we went to school, high school, college, when we started, when we finished, where it's located. Our work experience is important. Where we went to work, what businesses do we work for, or do we work for ourselves? We want to basically lay this out in a sequential order so that we can, you know, present ourselves to the employer the right way. We want to have our positions and the duties that we were assigned, how long we worked for them, any awards that we received while we were there. This is all important. And we want to go back 10 years, basically, and present what we've been doing, where we've been working, in a positive light. We also want to be honest about community service. If we've worked to give back to the community, that's a great thing to put on a resume. And any special skills that you have, like plumbing, electrical, HVAC, roofing, a CDL license, anything that you have that can highlight you in a positive way, make you stand out, is going to be good. Because we want to present ourselves to the best of our abilities. And when the question comes, my friends, where have you been working? And if you have not been working because you've been incarcerated or you've been in a recovery program, you want to be honest about that. And you want to answer that question forthright. You don't want to lie. You want to be absolutely honest and just make sure that people are very clear about where you've been and the changes you've made and that, you know, you made a mistake. There's nothing wrong with it. We all make mistakes, but I encourage you to be honest and to present yourself in a positive way. And employment interviews can be, you know, short and they can be long. I remember in the airlines, we had a 3-day interview, which was very comprehensive. It included an overview for the pilots coming in. And then about a 45-minute to an hour written test. And then an interview with two instructor pilots and the interviewee. And then in the afternoon after lunch, we had a medical. And the pilots who did well went on to the second day. And we used to bring in 25 people on a Monday. And on Tuesday, 12 would continue. 13 would go home. Because the standards were high, my friends, and although we want everybody to have a chance, we know that if you're not qualified for the job, it's going to be difficult. And so we want to make sure that everybody coming into a job is qualified. If not qualified, then they need more training and then to come back for the interview. And this is an important philosophy, I think, that applies to every job, which requires special skills. And on the second day, we would have more interviews. And then 8 would continue to day 3. And those people would be hired. And we would establish a pilot pool. But in the end, 1 out of 3 would actually get hired. So it's important that we as individuals coming home after incarceration or recovery programs, that we prepare well in resume formation and get our minds right, because if they're not right, we're going to have a problem on the job itself. And I know for one of our guys in the Wings program who had to get his mind right before he actually could go back to school and get his high school diploma, he knew that he had to go to Gaudenzia for his drug and alcohol rehab. And when he's able to graduate from the Gaudenzia, he could move forward and move on to the next step. And this was very, very important, because today that gentleman is driving the big rigs after getting a CDL license and is doing very, very well. But he had to get his mind right. And if your mind isn't right, you're going to have a problem on the job. Many years ago, we had a gentleman who ran a crew, a cleaning crew at night, 4 nights a week. And I asked him over at Drexel University Medical School, where we had a program for men on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11:30, if he could get one of our guys a position there as a part of the cleaning crew. And he did. And the guy worked out for about 2 weeks. And on the third week, he came in under the influence of alcohol and drugs. And he was very unreliable that evening and was and ended up putting the crew in jeopardy, and he was fired. But I tell you that it was a very difficult time to approach this individual for a second opportunity for someone else, because the first individual never worked out. And with that, we were unable to get any more men into that cleaning crew because of the lack of reliability and dependability for that individual under the influence. So if your mind isn't right, if you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you have to get cleansed of that. And this is important. And this is why I tell you that in preparing for job interviews, we've got to be clear what we're doing. And a lot of opportunities in the field of transportation require drug and alcohol testing. And we can't take that for granted. It's very important to make sure we're clean. We are clean and sober. And we have no, you know, impact from drugs or alcohol, because as a truck driver, as a pilot in the field of transportation, if you were involved in an accident, you could very well be arrested and incarcerated because of damaging property or people as a result of being under the influence while you're actually driving. So we want to make sure that, you know, that our minds are right, and then we want to seek that opportunity, because there are opportunities even for felons out there, people who had felony convictions and were able to get the CDL licenses at some point and then are driving today. And those are great opportunities where people are making close to a six-figure income and are getting home most nights of the week, and they're providing for their families and their children and themselves, and building themselves up through stability and credibility in the trucking industry. But as we, you know, look back on the interview questions that you might be asked, it's important that you prepare for those opportunities. Whether it be one-on-one or one-on-two, you're going to be asked some questions. Where do you live? You know, what is your background? Where did you go to school? What do you like to do when you're not working? Did you have any mentors growing up? How would you do this or that? If you put something on a resume, it's important to be totally honest and not misrepresent yourself on that resume. And so if you were a co-pilot, for instance, you wouldn't put down that you were a captain on this airplane, because we're going to ask you some questions about being a captain on this plane. And if you put down something that you haven't done, then if you were an apprentice electrician, let's say, it wouldn't be a good idea to put down that you were a licensed electrician, because you're only an apprentice and you have work to do. Same thing with plumbing or HVAC. If you were an assistant, say you were an assistant. Okay, if you were an assistant manager, then you say you're an assistant manager. Don't put down that you're a director of the program or whatever it is. Be honest and don't misrepresent yourself so that you don't end up in trouble and tied up in knots during an interview. Honesty is so important. And in the WINGS program, we try to emphasize that time and time again. And we want to make it clear that, you know, the character education part of an employee is critical. We want not only good pilots, but we want good employees. So character education is critical. If you need to grow in character, raise your hand. If you need to grow in honesty because you've been a dishonest person, then, you know, acknowledge it and make changes. If you need to grow in sincerity because you've been insincere with people, you need to make changes. If you've been disrespectful, we need to make changes. Going from disrespectful to respectful. When you're working with customers, and customer service is important, In every industry, it's key to treat people as you would like to be treated. God's golden rule. You treat others as you would like to be treated. God calls us to love your neighbor as yourself. So if I don't love myself, how am I going to treat my neighbor? If I'm putting alcohol in my body every day, or opiates, or crack cocaine, or methamphetamine, or fentanyl, if I'm putting heroin into my veins, how am I going to treat other people if I'm treating myself this way? This is important, my friends, because as we move forward in life, we want to embrace God's commandments and what he tells us to do and how to do it. We don't want to just go out and do WFG, what feels good. We want to do exactly what God calls us to do. It's just critical for success in reentry. And once again, the WINGS program stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. And so, as we move into different positions from entry level to management, you might be asked the question about leadership. You know, what are the qualities of a good leader? Think about it. What are the qualities of a good leader? Leadership is so important. It's essential. You know, without leadership, things can fall apart. And it's very noticeable when there's no leadership. There's confusion. There's no direction. There's ambiguity. So leadership, you know, really requires focus. It also requires attention to detail and to treat others as you would like to be treated. If you want people to follow you, they have to know where you're going. So if you're a leader and you don't know where you're going, how can people trust you with their lives? It's important. We want to be able to navigate from point A to point B and get to our destinations, just like in aviation. Well, you know, for all of us outside of aviation, the qualities of a good leader are really critical. We want to be able to understand that there are different types of leadership. There's the dictator who says it's my way or the highway. And there's the authoritarian who basically is a strong decision maker but takes in some information from the group. Then there's the democratic leader who has an ability to be patient and to inquire about information from various people in the group. And so it's a democracy. It's democratic. And it takes more time to make that happen. But that's the democratic style of leadership. And then there's laissez-faire, which is an open-door policy that anything goes. So what kind of a leader are you? Are you qualified for the job that you're coming in to get? Are you laissez-faire with your open-door policy and everything is okay? Or are we going to maintain the standards that this company or this organization has been running with for 50 years in corporate America, 50 years in the United States of America? What are the standards that we want to maintain? Because as a leader, as a manager, director, as a vice president, or a CEO, leadership is important, and it has a trickle-down effect from the top down to the bottom. And positive leadership is so important for the future of this company. So if you're out there coming for a management job which incorporates possibly overseeing a crew of a half a dozen people, I expect you to maintain the standards, to do a good job. If we're talking about the supermarket and you have opportunity to prove yourself as an employee and move up to management, it's a beautiful thing. And you'll be tested out there in the field where people will ask you to do a job in a certain period of time, and then they will see if you have gotten the job done. For instance, if you're running a crew in a supermarket that works only at night and there's a main delivery that comes in about 10 p.m., And your job is to unload that tractor trailer with your crew, stock the shelves, and then basically put everything else in the basement or in storage, you know, and then I'll see you at 7 o'clock in the morning when I come in. If that's your job, then at 7 a.m., that job should be completed. And if it's not, then you may not be the right man for the job, because those deliveries come in almost every night. And as a leader of the crew, you're expected to do your job 100%. And if not, you can be replaced. So we want to be, you know, reliable, dependable, and accountable to the people that we're working for. These are just critical attributes for any employee, any manager, director, because if you want a company to succeed, you know, it's going to have good employees who care about what they're doing. And it all starts really about caring for yourself as well, my friends. So today we're talking about heavily about work, employment interviews, and leadership. And, you know, communication is so important in leadership. We want to be able to be great listeners, listening to our people, understanding where they are, what's important to them, and see if we can help them and to grow personally and in their family life and in their work life. It's important to help other people on the job and to give credit where credit is due. When somebody is out there doing a great job, why not tell them you did a great job? Not take credit for what they've done, but to give them credit for what they actually have done and possibly performance bonuses. I love the performance bonus system where people get paid extra for doing a good job. They have an incentive to go the extra mile for the company. And there's a lot of ways to do it. Many years ago, some of the major airlines were giving extra pay to the flight crews because they were helping to save them money in fuel costs. And so the pilots would take shortcuts from point A to point B. Instead of taking the long way to a destination, they would try to work with air traffic control and to get shortcuts so that the company would save money, and a percentage of the savings would actually go to the flight crew. So performance bonuses are a great thing, and you see them all the time in great companies. My friends, that's our show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. I wish you the very best if you're coming home from prison or out of recovery. I want to thank you once again for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio. And I want to say God bless you and may God deliver you with only the blessings of obedience and all that he has for you and the intentions in your heart. God bless. Have a great day.